Boom. We are live. Boys, you ready to get to this?
I am.
Yep.
Let's we are do behind. It. We've got a busy day. We're going to have some fun, aren't we?
I think
so. Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
We are Brightside on the
Home theater fans, welcome to the Bright Side fans. Home theater nerds, come on. Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast, the home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes.
There we go. Thank you, everybody, for waiting patiently. The room is, you know, I mean, we're watching the chat a little bit. We had a little pre-show meeting.
They go Steve, whether we're here or not.
I know, exactly. yeah, next week's show, just the chat.
The chat.
Just the chat.
We'll just watch.
Woo, we'll just sit back and watch. Really? Wow, they really don't like you, Deej. You know, it's kind of like when you're the coach of the team or you're the guy that buys the jerseys for the team and you buy all the stuff for the hockey team and it's like, that's the only reason you're on the team. Pretty much the reason, the only reason I'm here. I'll put it all together. You want to join me? Yeah, all right. Wouldn't talk to me otherwise. By the way, I did buy the jersey for my hockey team. Just to let you know, that's me.
I figured that was experience talking.
Oh, yeah. I'm the oldest guy on the team. I'm the one buying the jerseys on the team.
Ice cream afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're a little older than that. So,
I mean, I don't know how old you are, but I still like ice cream.
Where are you going out for ice cream at like 11:30 at night after your hockey game?
I don't know. I'll find a place.
Come on, boys. Everybody want a cone? Sprinkles for the goalie.
That's now you Joe. Know whether they'll talk to you.
Yeah. No ice cream.
Yeah. See? Yeah. I bought the jerseys. Joe brings the chips, and we have a couple guys bringing the beverages. So that's it. All works out. It all works out. So how talking we been this week?
About the chat. Sorry, just talking about the chat.
Oh yeah. What
John,
do we got?
You need to tap up Paul. He's off to Liverpool and back tomorrow, John.
I saw that.
Time to tap him up for some souvenirs from the.
No, I need some stuff from Anfield. I'll get in touch with Paul.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, the chat's going well here, I see. Nice. Let's see. Guys, do we have anything big this week coming up? Anything? Can you think of anything that we've never done before that maybe we're doing this week?
No.
I feel like this is a test, but I don't know the answer.
Well, we have reordered the show. We'll get to that. There you go. There's my man up in the top right. That's why he's my right-hand man. John, you've been relegated to down below.
I'm the bottom man.
Down there.
I don't know if that's a good thing to be called the bottom man.
Oh, yeah. So it's our first ever SVS Prime Wireless Pro powered speaker pair giveaway that went for the Heather Abbott Foundation. And we're going to do the drawing right now. So thank you to everybody in the comments in the chat right now, because you guys are going to play a part just like you did last week. But before we do all that, I'm going to go through and I'm going to try to thank everybody. If I miss somebody for donating, I apologize because I didn't get a chance to put this all in like numerical order. So it's kind of scattered, but here, first up, we have, and it doesn't go in any order or anything, but we have a thank you to Danny Speakers with a $75 donation. We have Joe Hostel, $25 donation. Joe again with a $20 donation because he did a box of popcorn. So one was a donation, one was a box of popcorn. Thank you very much. Mark Hader, $50. Joe Klosnick with $20. Lane Smith with $10. We have Mike Rosas coming in with $100, coming in hot. Ryan Loper, $25. David Blair, $50. Gurinder coming in with $20. Peter Slavish, $25. Oop, my screens scrolling the wrong way. Brian Krushenchenk. Sorry about that, Brian. But I'm not a professional. I sat in my theater and then decided to come here and put a microphone in my face. So Brian with a Y, $25. And then we have Elongo. I'm not even going to try to say his last name. I'm lucky I got Elongo right. But I love Elongo. $20. So thank you to everybody. The grand total between boxes of popcorn, between the donations, was $470. Couple that with our $200 donation, and we've given $670 to the Heather Abbott Foundation. So pretty awesome. Cool. Thank you, everybody, for participating, listening, all the great comments that we got thanking us for doing a non-home theater show. So
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Exactly.
And you just mentioned what you guys want? The beginning.
I know, exactly. Could you get more people on more interesting than yourselves? No.
More non-home theater shows, please.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, thank you to SVS for stepping up. I reached out to SVS and they were, I was just looking for ideas, maybe a donation or something. And they came in really hot with, you know, these Prime Wireless Pro powered speaker pair for their $900, $899. You can see it on the screen. And, once we do this drawing here, I'm just going to give your address to them and they're going to ship these out to you. So, thank you very much to SVS. I really appreciate that. Like last week, I was going to mix it up, but I really don't know how. So like last week, let's start with a number. Give me a number between 1 and 168. 1 and 168. First number in the chat that gives me that. And then we'll go with, the next step.
John, so, we've got our fingers crossed. John, are we going to win this time? Is it going to be you or me?
My fingers are crossed, but I'm not in it.
So we're at 63. Do we go up or down? Up or down, everybody?
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. What number have you got, John?
62.
60 is 63. Do we go up or down? Am I going?
Well, Andrew Panner's gone next, and he's gone up. So.
He said down. Oh, no, I had, Steven at says down.
All right.
Because you know why? He's so smart. He knows I don't want to do the math.
Right.
So I just go to number 63. But I opened up my calculator and we have, and the winner. Ooh.
Drum roll.
Anybody? I got Sounders here.
I'm pulling for Danny.
I'm putting for myself.
I know who it is. I'm pretty excited for him. Very happy for him. It is Gurinder with
awesome.
The winning bid was he had given if it had come up on the Rostrong, which was the code word. If it had come up on that, I would have said that. But it actually came up on his $20 donation.
Awesome.
So 63 is the winner. Thank you to Gurinder. Thank you to everybody that participated. I wish I could give it to everybody, but can't. So I won't.
Well, we could ask SVS.
And John's sitting there going, don't DJ.
We need 163 pairs of these.
So. Yeah. And DJ would buy them if he could. Like, there goes the show.
165, John. So we've got one each. A pair each as well. Come on.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's not to sell ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you to Gurinder. Thank you to everybody. And again, thank you very much to SVS. That was awesome. So do you want to just get to... No, we'll get to it in the show. We have another giveaway coming up. Actually, there's another one. Give me... all right, up or down from there? Because we have another giveaway. I forgot about this. So it's actually... We have a second giveaway here. The runner-up, it was donated to the show. You get to choose between a U-Mic 1, a U-Mic 2, or a Galaxy CM140 sound meter. So donated to the show, and it was donated by Am I Doing This Right? That's his name on Twitter. But yes, so give me a, in the show, no, in the up or down again, because we're going to go up or down, and the winner below, above or below Gurinder is going to get their choice of a UMic 1, a UMic 2, or a Galaxy CM140 sound meter.
I think so, there's only so much mention of going down that can be said before John's double entendre disease will kick in.
I know.
So let's go up.
I'm already curling my toes here. Like, trying to...
All right. So David Blair wins with Roe Strong. He's right above Gurinder at 60. So when you donated, you got 5 donations as opposed to the Roe Strong. So David Blair wins, being right above Gurinder at 60. So congratulations to David Blair. Get me your information and I will, and let me know what you want, and I will get the message to, am I doing this right? So David Blair won the choice of microphone, and Gurinder wins the SVS speakers. So, fantastic. All right. So that takes,
very cool.
Let me highlight that so I remember. That way I don't have to go back through the show notes like I've done before. I'm like, who won what? Be like,
congratulations, fellas. That's very, very cool. Really nice kit.
Yes.
You know, great stuff.
Awesome stuff. So, all right, stop that. All right. We ready? You guys want to let, I've done enough talking. Why don't you make the big announcement?
That's what I always say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but you only say it after the show, John. Yeah, DJ, do you ever shut up? and then we talk for an hour.
Right.
So, Steve, why don't you tell everybody the big news about the new format and, how we're gonna go.
Okay. So we're gonna change things up a little bit, as we move forward, starting tonight, I think. And what we're going to do is we're gonna just change the order a little bit. So instead of doing our HT experiences towards the end of the show, we're gonna move those towards the front. And then after we've done that, then presumably we'll look at tweaks, and then we'll look at listener comments and listener experiences.
Yeah, 4K releases, tweaks, somewhere in there. You know, we'll figure that out, and then what listener experiences will come at the end.
Yeah, and we're going to tighten up our timings. We're going to try and confine ourselves to 2 hours ish.
Well, we have a hard out at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So, you know, this is just, it's getting out of control. And thank you to you guys, the listeners. That's why it's getting out of control. All we want to do is like, we're like, oh, let's do this. Let's do it. But we've got to contain ourselves. Otherwise we've already expanded to 3 hour shows. It's not unheard. I mean, with the amount of content we're getting in, we really have to contain ourselves. And with the time differences with Steve over there, you know, Steve's in Europe. I'm on one coast. John's in the middle. I mean, the fact that these two have been able to join me every week pretty consistently, I mean, has just been amazing on their part, because Steve's given up sleep. John's given up peace of mind. Just being with me.
The way I look at this,
anytime I join, honestly,
exactly.
the way I look at this is my night in the pub once a week.
Right.
This is my Tuesday night down the pub. Pubs close at 11 ish here, so you know, up till midnight. This is pub time. So it's all good for me.
Yeah,
fantastic.
If we actually allowed the pub beverages in here,
I was going to say I need to start bringing beer to these things.
We did do that show, John.
Just don't remember it.
How much I don't remember it well. I drank a lot.
He had a rough day.
It was gin and tonic, National Gin and Tonic Day.
Oh, is that what it was?
And I obliged myself.
I've got sounders from that episode that we can't play here, because I know, I mean, we pride ourselves on being a family show. And
it started strong, but it quickly deteriorated.
Right. Well, it didn't help that he started the show and said if I played certain sounders that he would have to take a drink. So I'm left and right. I'm like, I was like, it was just pretty funny. So it got out of control fast. So the next morning he was like, what happened? He woke up, and this was back when we had to download to each other. Like,
yeah, I passed out.
He literally passed out. And I didn't get, I'm sitting here at home. It's middle of the night. I'm waiting for the information. And it's like 4 o'clock in the morning. I finally get the email from him with his half. He woke up and didn't know what happened.
Not the first time
either of us has done that, but it's the first time we aired something like that.
Yeah, so. It was pretty rough. I overindulged.
And you've been on the Diet Coke ever since.
That's right. At least on air.
Yeah.
So, Stephen Att says 2 hours. Wow, actually, that works better. I got hockey and baseball games to watch too.
You and me both, Stephen.
Yeah, I know, and it really is. So that's the other part. We're going to be starting at 5 p.m. Eastern time from now on because it's just been too stressful on John. It's been too stressful on us trying to get here all in time. So we're going hard 5 to 7. We're pretty sure we can fill 2 hours easily. The trick is going to be getting all of the information out there. And if we don't get to it all, we'll move it to the next week or whatever like that. So that's kind of how, you know, we're moving the milk to the front of the store because, you know, people jump around anyways. So this is a home theater podcast about our home theater experiences. So we're moving that up front and then we'll get to the listeners and get to the other stuff after that. So, but thank you to everybody for actually making the show go out of our minds. Really?
Yeah.
It's like, it's awesome. It's way bigger than, and we're not huge. We are growing though. I've been watching the numbers. We are growing. We're getting there. And we are in the top, 3% of all podcasts. Did you guys know that?
No.
Yeah. We are in the top in the world of the of 3%. Yeah. That's pretty good. It's pretty good. Chat was 10. Chat made the top 10%. But to give you an idea, our boys over at, you know, HT guys, top 1.5.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only half better.
I think they're in the top. I'm sorry. They're in the top one. AV Rant's in the top 1.5. So that's who I'm going for.
Yeah. Good to have goals.
It is. And it's, I'm not doing that because I'm doing it out of amazement, to be honest with you. Because like, I'm just like tickled. I was like, holy crap. People, I'm like, this is pretty cool. So, Rogan.
What percentage do we need to be before we can invite Biden on this show?
When do we? Oh, we can invite him whenever we want.
Oh, done. Right. Okay.
Exactly. I mean, whatever. It's like reach out to him. I'm sure he's available. Right. Yeah, he's got nothing better to do.
Yeah.
What else is going on? Absolutely. I'm not really sure it's a good idea to have any 80-year-old man on a show to talk about home theater. didn't ask to be on the show.
Yeah, man. DJ would be perfect because he'd want the sound turned up loud.
Yeah. Right. I actually think he would be good because that's his nature as a politician. He'd just try to be supportive no matter what. He wouldn't even know what we were talking about. He'd be like, absolutely.
What did you think of Top Gun Maverick, Mr. Biden? Well, let me tell you about the days of black and white silent films.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man.
Oh. I did not know that. Yeah. When did you find that out that we were in the top 3%?
Oh, there's a couple of places. One of them is Listen Notes I go to. You can just go and look it up and you can put it in any podcast and you look it up and it's, we've been top 3. We're pretty close to advancing from there. We actually just, it takes a while for it to move, for your numbers to move. TLDR, you know, our boys, John kind of took over for us at chat. When we left chat, we were in the top 10. Our score has dropped by about 2 points, but TLDR, cause they came on later. They weren't even ranked, I think. And now they're past where chat was, just past. They're in the they just made the top, I think 10% just recently. So awesome. They're doing well too. So they're advancing. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to see. So, all right. Alrighty. Let's see. What do we want? All right. Since we have, you know, can I do this first? Because this is kind of important. So I have an email that I wanted to get this before we get to, cause this is more important than listener comments. You guys don't even know about this. I don't think, I'm sorry. Kind of pulling a fast one on you here. But where's the notes? Where is it? I grabbed it. All right. Where did it go? Where did it go? See what happens
when we're unprepared.
Well, we are prepared. I'm just, what happened?
Busting balls, DJ.
I know. I know. But see, I had to mark it as unread, but I do want to read it. Let's see.
So whilst we're talking,
talk about amongst yourselves there, yeah, boys.
Andrew Panner says, go Knights, go. Is that a Vegas team then? Is that a Vegas?
Yes.
Ball or baseball
Vegas team? Knights.
Hockey, right?
Yeah. Vegas Golden Knights and
a hockey team in the middle of the desert.
It's new, right? Just a few. How many years has it been? Because I'm trying to ask DJ, and he's the one that's busy.
Yeah, I know.
I don't really follow hockey.
It's like only like new. 5 years, roughly 5 years. Seattle just came in last year, so maybe it's been like it might have been 6 or 7 years. But they came out hot. They made the playoffs their first year.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people took them for granted at the beginning of the season and then in their rookie season. And then they just developed confidence and stuff. And they had a really smart way of building the team back then. But now they actually have Bruce Cassidy, who was the Bruins coach. He's coaching now. I think he's a fantastic coach, especially early on. I know having talked to a couple of the Bruins when he first joined the team, back when he took over for Claude Julien, they loved him and he got them to the finals a few times. So Vegas is doing well this year.
Can you just set up a team and say, right, we are, because this team doesn't have one yet, let's be that, and then just go straight into the
team has to petition for, the team has to petition for, I mean, the city.
Has to petition, the league has to vote on it.
And it's to have a venue and
But I mean, John, obviously you've seen Welcome to Wrexham, so you know how the British Football League works, where you know teams can go in and out of the league and you know, they get promotion or relegation. So that's not what Vegas did. They just said, right, here's our team, got in the league,
and that was they were in the NHL. Yep.
Oh man. Yeah, well, far be it from me to say our system's better.
Yeah,
our system's better.
I think it is as well.
Talking to Wrexham, we're going to have a drive up there over the summer. We're going to go and have a little look at the racecourse ground.
Awesome.
It's about 2.5 hours from here. So we're going to go and drive up and go into the shop there and buy some bits.
You know what's always fun? When you tell everybody you're going to keep it tight, and then we start talking all about sports. Welcome to the Right Side Home Sports Podcast.
Yeah. I thought we were delaying while she was getting ready.
No, I'm ready. I'm ready. Okay. And that's what's funny. It's like, but see what happens when I'm like, and that's why I get the butterflies. I'm like, here we go. Off the rails. Back on the rails. All right. Here we go. And we have images to go along with this. So this message comes in from Dan Carpenter, our buddy. He used to be called Skippy Turtle, but we know him better and love him as Danny Speakers. So because
didn't like him as Skippy Turtle.
Yeah. Well, no, he changed it. It's like he changed it to Danny Speakers.
And we love him as Danny Speakers.
Well, Skippy Turtle is kind of doesn't really go with home theater. So I think that's why I did it. But so his niece grew up with juvenile diabetes. And he sent a pretty good email, a nice description for anybody that's dealing with it. Or, I mean, it's just, that's her right there. So let me read through the email and then and you'll hear why at the end. So, hey, DJ, here's a little bit about my niece. To start off, she is wicked awesome. So you could tell he's also from Boston area. Here is Emma instead of saying she through this. Emma has always been and still is a very good kid. She loves to help people. She actually listens to her parents, loves animals. When she was 10, she was diagnosed with diabetes. Emma's parents brought her to the hospital after a few episodes of feeling sick, not eating, always being thirsty and being tired. She was also losing weight. Being as skinny as she was, it was easy to see her weight loss. This is all happened this all happened quickly. I remember getting a phone call from my brother telling me Emma was in the hospital and that she had diabetes. I thought that meant her life was basically over as far as going out for sports and living a, quote, normal life. Enough about me. Emma came home from the hospital and started her new routine. Emma's mother, Shannon, did what every mother would do. Shannon would get up every few hours at night and check Emma's blood sugar and adjust as needed. At this point, Emma was already doing karate and playing softball. She had also learned how to snowboard the winter before. It took a little while for them to get everything into routine. Always have snacks on hand, insulin, water. Fast forward a few years and she is able to do everything that she wants to do, all sports, snowboarding, running, biking, swimming, and surfing, to name a few. Outings, camping, hiking, she has no restrictions really on her life. She has an insulin pod that she wears with Bluetooth monitoring. She was on the cross-country team until she graduated last year. She was and still does, on occasion, teach karate to younger children. She works at a pet grooming salon, pet sits, house sits, works for a landscaping, and does other odd jobs. Does she do any editing? Yeah. And other jobs.
Did she like home theater?
Yeah, exactly. Emma has a friend that has a brother that has a disease that has left him as a paraplegic. Her friend and his family do a charity hike in the Himalayas to raise awareness of this disease. Last year, Emma went on the trip. Well, of course she did. Here was their trek. Day 5, trek to Yulari to Garupani. Oh, man, with all these words. Day 7 to 8 hours, day 11, 6 to 7 hours, day 12, only 45 minutes. Oh no, that's the beginning. Then 3 hours. This fall, she will be attending University of New England in Biddeford, Maine. She is an inspiration to everyone she meets. Yeah, me, and I haven't even met her yet. She is always happy and is always looking at the bright side. I will get the link from her for a video that her friend did a couple of years ago about the disease. Sorry for it being a long-winded. I actually shortened it up a lot. Oh, that was nice of you. When it comes to any of my nieces or nephews, I can just go on and on. And we just did. So he sent me a few more pictures, but I included a few here that you've been looking at on YouTube. So with that, I just happened to notice, and I was going to do this anyways, but Dan also bought us a box of popcorn of $100. So he's pushing Joe Klusnick's, as far as he can. So we're already up to $100 this month. I think it was Johnny Speakers has already donated a box of popcorn as well. So we're getting up there. So keep it coming because Joe Klusnick's going to match the donation we give to juvenile diabetes this month. So thanks, Dan. Really appreciate that. Great story. Awesome for Emma. And you can see in the picture here, I mean, even when she was younger and stuff, it's not slowing these kids down, which is great. So it's a great cause to give to because it helps that. And it also helps to get the awareness out there. So pretty cool. So that's why I wanted to get to that as soon as possible. So thank you, everybody, for listening. All right. Now, home theater experiences. Let's get to it. Nope, wrong one. Where did it go? Oh, no, that is... See?
It's changed the order. Everything goes to the box.
Everything just goes.
Change the order, change the world.
Yeah. All right. Who wants to go first?
Whatever you throw up on the screen, DJ, that's how we'll roll.
Yeah, we'll roll. Yep, that's it.
Tina's choice. Oh, look at you. Look at you. All right. Let's lead off with this bad boy.
Ah. Yeah, I'm curious about this. Yeah.
So this is new show on Apple TV called Silo, streams in 4K HDR Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos, just like everything on
Apple TV.
Apple TV. Yep. It's got a pretty pretty good cast here. You've got Rebecca Ferguson, Common, Tim Robbins, Rashida Jones, lots of people in this. This is a show, as DJ will know, about my favorite genre.
You just took my favorite comment. Yeah. I was like, how are you even watching this?
I love the post-apocalyptic landscape, as any of the listeners to our old show would know.
Right. That's sarcasm,
yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah, very much sarcasm. but this takes place, as one might guess, in a giant silo. Now think of your farm silo times 1,000, because there's a whole civilization living in this thing. So we don't really know how big it is.
Underground.
It's underground, and we know it's at least 140 levels, because they mentioned at least going down 140 levels in the episode. So basically all these survivors are living in this silo, but this is multi-generation. So at this point, they've lost the knowledge of why they're in there and why they can't go outside. They just know that they can't. They don't know who built it. They don't know what caused it. Blah, blah, blah. Been pretty interesting, though. It's two episodes dropped. Really enjoyed both of them. And as one might guess, being Apple TV, really, really excellent Dolby Atmos. I don't have Dolby Vision to take advantage of, but even the 4K HDR looked fantastic. Looks like it's going to be really interesting. Really good experience as far as
home theater.
As far as home theater goes.
Yeah, I watched it as well.
Far, only two. I mean, there's going to be probably 8 or 10 for the first season.
And it's a mystery box show, isn't it? It's kind of what has happened and why, or is it more about what's going on?
In a way, there's something, there's obviously a conspiracy that's happening inside the silo to keep people inside. We don't know why at this point. They all believe that it is not safe to go outside, that it's toxic.
We don't really know if that's the truth or not, but
we're to assume that it's not the truth. that they are able to go outside because that's what they're trying to figure out. They're trying to unravel, what caused this, why they're being, kept inside, So yes, it is a mystery developing. Like I said, it's been pretty intriguing. Watched just the first episode, DJ?
I've watched two. I watched both episodes. Okay. Yeah. And it's what I noticed, and what's kind of fun about it is it's at first blush, you're not like, wow, it's not super dynamic sound from the Atmos track. But what is kind of cool, because it's more of a drama. It's not an action movie or anything like that, or a show. But because they're in the silo, there's air filtration.
Right.
And almost every scene inside a room or something where it's kind of quiet, you can hear it's the blower over your head. It's pretty cool. And it's like, I didn't notice it at first, but then I couldn't stop paying attention to it. And it was like more often than not, I'm like, there it is. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not the super, there's not the explosions and gunfire, it's not all of that, but it's ambient sound.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I noticed
clanking conversations going off on other levels.
Some water running in the second episode. Like you said, conversations happening above and below.
Here we go below again.
The man on the bottom once again.
Yeah.
I just want to know if I'm face up or face down, but I'll leave that for another show.
So you messed with the format.
I know. Sorry. I meant to make that joke last time, but the opportunity passed me by. So.
Oh, you're one of you're George Costanza, huh?
Yeah.
I have the comeback now. Just waiting for the opportunity. I think this is a lot of it. I wouldn't say it's a lot of fun. I think it's a really good show. It's a well put together show, but it is definitely a drama. But it has a lot of great HDR and a really nicely mixed Atmos track that I think our listeners would really appreciate. I think a lot of people just wouldn't even notice, but I think a lot of people would notice. So at least our listeners anyway.
Our
so.
Listeners will notice. Yeah. My wife didn't notice.
And by the way, this is the first week. I wanted to go back to this. If you're watching this on YouTube, that is a 123-inch screen.
Oh, yeah.
In a living room, people.
It is.
And this is the first time we get to see it for real, where John took the full image. And we got some other images coming up, too. But it's really inspired me. So in the show, I'm not going to go put a 123-inch screen in my living room.
In your living room.
But I love the imagery and to think, like... I mean, when people take it, screen grab this, show your wife here. You know what? I'll even, I'm going to go full on here. Screen grab that image and show your wife and say, see, honey, we're not that bad, because John's wife has to come home to that every day in the living room.
It, she never misses the opportunity to tell me how much she hates it, by the way.
Right. So. And what's funny is I've been in his living room and you walk in the door and he has an open floor plan. And it's like you literally walk in and that's what you're facing.
Yeah.
The kitchen areas to the left. And then you're looking over the backs of the couches, actually over his kitchen table, then the backs of the couches. And you can't help but notice now, it wasn't there when I was there.
No, it was a 77-inch.
And that was a monstrosity. Yeah. So, good God. So, congratulations to John.
Yeah. It's even larger now with the 3-inch felt all the way around it.
Jesus.
Which she hates more than the actual screen.
Yeah. Oh, all right. So, staying on track. Yeah. All right, that was Silo. Who's next? Who wants to go? Raise your hand.
Dealer's choice, Deej. Come on.
Dealer's choice. Here we go. I got to get this out of the way because this is the bright side.
Yeah.
This is the bright side. I almost texted you on this one, Steve. Like, I almost texted you. Seriously, Steve, are you not a happy camper? What the hell is going on in your life?
It's like a very 70s movie. Is this a 70s
week
movie?
After
1980, okay. This was. Yeah. Okay, so for those not watching on YouTube, this is the 4K release of Cannibal Holocaust, which is another one in my occasional series of the 70s and 80s video nasties. We did I Spit on Your Grave, 1978. We did Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and now we're doing this. And this was a first watch for me. I'd never seen this before.
I'd never heard of it until you put it in the notes.
What about you, John?
No, I had neither. I'm not familiar with this movie.
And yet this is a notorious movie with all the controversy you'd expect with a name like that, and then some. And I had heard of it because it was not just banned here. It was Burn It With Fire. You know, directed by an Italian chap, John. So you would, you know, obviously,
I'm already in.
Be happy with that. But he released it in Italy just very quick because this is a great story. He so the guy makes films. He was called Ruggero Diodato. His name is, and he makes this film, directs the film. He then gets a call one night from the very famous Italian horror director. Who basically...
Are you Argento?
That's it, yes. So he says, come around and show me the film. And he sees the film and he says to him, I love the movie, but what have you done? And said, the world will hate you for this.
Oh.
And it was banned in Italy after 3 weeks. And it was banned in the US for a long period of time as well. Years and years and years. I think it was 5-6 years. So anyway, so now it's out in 4K. The reason I got it is because it was very cheap at a local shop that I went to. And I'd heard about it. I knew about the notoriety of it and the infamy of this film. And I thought for £15, it's worth a go. It's 4K. You know, I'd read a review say it looked good. So first watch for me. What to say about it? What I'd say is, by the way, the title has very little to do with the film. It is a deliberately... inflammatory title, that the H word is there to inflame. It's not there because that actually happens. There is, of course, cannibalism in it, but there's not the H word. All right, so that's just to create to court controversy. So anyway, so the film itself was nowhere near, in terms of the cannibalism and that stuff, nowhere near as violent as I'd been led to believe. I thought it was going to be a tough watch. And I'd been told, you know, actually, it's hard to even eat food before or after. You know, you just wouldn't feel up to it. And yet it's not that bad. If either of you seen Eli Roth's Green Inferno, have you seen that? That's a film that's heavily influenced by this, but that's a more modern and way more graphic.
I've heard of that one, but I don't think I've seen it.
Way more graphic than this is in terms of the cannibalist stuff. That's, you know, that's really pushing the limits. So that's not bad. But what is very difficult about this film, and I'll mention it now because I suspect it'll mean, Deej, you are never going to want to see this film as long as you live. So don't, I mean, there's no point in me recommending it to you.
It's going
to
make me want to watch it.
Well, the problem
is, pretty sure those are my two least favorite words in the English language.
Yeah, well, quite. But but if I tell you that what made this film, in not just the subject matter about the cannibalism, but what made it so controversial, is that there are a number of occasions in this film. It's a American film crew going to the jungle in, you know, and encounter cannibals and that sort of stuff. There are several occasions, I think about six, in which animals are killed, and they were killed for real. And you're talking about a turtle, you're talking about monkeys, you're talking about pigs, and it was done.
Okay, this is a bright side. Can we get the whole theater part of it, please?
So that's, but this is why I say, I saw it. You're never going to want to see it, Deej. John, see it if it's cheap and you're in the mood one day. But it's an important mood.
What mood is that exactly? Well, not know, to go on a tangent, but for the love of God.
But it's what it is an important film for horror completists, because it did, right. You know, it's notorious for that. But that's, you know, only for completists. No one else need ever see this film. Home theater wise, this was shot on a shoestring budget. This was just next to nothing. And yet the image quality is really something. They've done some real work on this. So you get, so the forest stuff with all the greens and the light, the skies are beautiful and blue. The clouds are fluffy and white. The image quality on it is surprisingly good, almost to the point of being excellent for a movie of this budget. I mean, it was a shoestring. The sound is 2-channel stereo. Now I upmixed it to Neuralex, for what it's worth. And actually there is some jungle noise and stuff in the back. You talk about ambient sound. There was some, you know, there's some wind in the rears, you know, there is some kind of some noise and stuff like that. But it's all very, very, you know, front focused. So,
John, you got nothing for wind in the rears?
Wind in the rears. Yes. Indeed.
Wind out of the rears. I know.
Yeah. Well, quite. So I don't recommend it, guys. I can't in good conscience recommend it. I'm glad I've seen it. And it'll stay in the collection because it's an important film. But only horror completists need apply for this. Otherwise, most people I think will detest it. And honestly, probably rightly so, because it is a tough watch, not for the cannibalism, but for the animals, cruelty, which is very tough to watch. Yeah, but you know, there it is. It, don't say you weren't warned. Anyone that does want to see it, it is available cheaply. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
So there we go.
And okay, I'm glad we got that out of the way. Very interesting, though. I had no idea what that, and when I saw you had that in the notes and the image and everything, I was like, oh boy.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of this film at all, so I'm glad to have at least heard that.
Yeah,
story.
Well, like I said, it's a video nasty era. That's where it's from, and it's very much in that vein, if you'll forgive the expression.
All right, let me get that.
What you got, DJ, to cleanse the palate there?
Oh, come on. I can go. We're going to take a hard left off of that. We're going to brighten things up a bit with Star Wars from 1977.
Can we talk about this again?
Yeah.
Well, but this, we did have Star Wars Day, boys. And I noticed in the notes, we have no surprises coming up from you guys on what you did on Star Wars Day.
Didn't watch a single thing. Star Wars Day.
Yeah, and you were actually off that day too, weren't you, John?
I was, yeah, but I was catching up on all the other stuff that we hadn't watched.
Right. So. Nope. I, you know, fired up the Zapedi. This is the image that you would get on my Zapedi anyways. And what's really cool is this top part here above the title is actually action. So I took a few pictures, but that was the best one of the picture that I had. And then the scrawl underneath, scroll or whatever you want to call it, tells you all about how it was made, meaning the Star Wars, it's a 4K rendering of the original.
This is the despecialized, right?
The despecialized, yes. Yeah. 4K 77, that's called, a whole bunch of things. If you notice on YouTube here, I have download in 4K. It's in gray because it is kind of on the gray market. You have to know somebody to get it, or you can download it offline. When I first got my Zapedi, Nelson actually sent me this. He sent me up a hard drive, and he sent me this with, Empire was on it. Jedi was on it. The originals. So those are all on my Zapedi. And, when we put in like even a new, like the best example was probably the first time was Karate Kid in 4K. And at the very beginning, you get that grain because it's not a modern version. But once you get used to it, you're like, oh yeah, okay, this is pretty good. This is nothing like that. No, this is like, it's heavy grain and it's inconsistent because they edit the way they had to piece it together. For instance, the scene when R2 and 3PO first, you know, land in the desert there, super grainy. I mean, it's just like chunky chunks of grain. But then there are some scenes that look really nice, and it's fun when you get to the parts with Han Solo, when they first meet Han Solo and stuff, and there's no McClunky and he shoots first, and there's no, you know, it just smoothly goes along and there's no segue into Jabba the Hutt going through Mos Eisley for the first time. I mean, there's actually more there than I thought. I watched this last year, but it's not completely empty, but there's not as much as there is in the special edition. And it's just in the explosions at the end, like John and I said before, but it was a lot of fun to go through. If you can look it up, find a way to download it and you have a means to play it. I literally didn't have a means until I had the Zapedi. How do you do it?
I mean,
John?
I bought mine on Blu-ray on eBay.
Oh, okay. That's right. Yeah. Yep. You're right.
I've got Blu-ray copies of it. I don't know if you can still get them on eBay. I think you can get them on Etsy maybe.
Yeah. It's floating around.
Yeah, it's out there. And I paid a chunk for the three of them. I mean, I say a chunk, maybe 50, 60 bucks. It's not that much.
Right.
But I don't know. I haven't watched them in a while. I actually just got them back today from my son because he's had them for about a year. So,
yeah.
Because I told him I wanted to watch them again.
And the audio is pretty good, too.
Yeah.
It is pretty good. It's especially when we upmix it. Systems now are so good at doing that anyways. But it is and it all came up. It came up as this one, the download came up as a 4K, you know, it's putting out 4K. It is DTS Master Audio. That's what came up on my receiver. So it's, you know, it's legit. It's just kind of Frankenstein together. We do deserve it a full real restoration, but this is what we have for now. And then, it's pretty good. Pretty good. So that was my Star Wars day.
Just out of interest, do you ever click on like A New Hope and does the Zapedi or the Kaleidoscape go again? Really? Or does it just play it? I'm just wondering if sooner or later we're going to get AI.
Crosses its arms and refuses.
This AI is going to be like, no, DJ, you've had enough of this.
Nope. No. It is. It literally is a form of therapy for me. It's literally, and Mike, and it, that'd be like going to your therapist and be like, serious again about your mother? Come on. Come on.
You know what?
That's a joke. Mom.
I was only talking.
I know you're not listening.
I was talking to someone the other day about this, and I said about you, and you know they're aware of the podcast, and I was talking about how to you it's comfort. It calms the mind, and it comforts you, and has a real sort of impact. And they're fascinated by it. You know, just that, you know, fair play. So nice. I get that.
So am I going to get invited on like Nut Jobs or Us podcast or something? Our next guest really whacked out.
one flew over the Star Wars nest.
And there you go.
Instead of McMurphy, it'll be McClunky.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
4K 77 isn't the name of the cut. It's how many times he's watched it.
Yeah, it's counting up.
Next year, up next week is 4K 78.
Well, actually, let's be fair. By next year, it'll be over 5K.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Well, that edition, maybe yeah. not. But the irregular, I do prefer the cleaner. Because when you go back, you're like, oh, my God. It's like you took the screen door off. You took the dirty window and put on glasses. You're like, wow, that's beautiful.
I don't remember my Blu-rays being that bad. I'll have to, like I said, I'm going to give them another watch and I'll let you know.
Have you watched them on your big screen?
No.
Yeah.
It's been over a year since
I've watched. Put in 77. Watch that on the big screen.
Yeah.
And then go back and throw in the newest, especially the open, when you see how shiny R2 is and how beautiful everything looks. And the detail on Vader, like you could see like fingerprints on Vader now, whereas the old one, you're just like, oh, that looks great. Because that's what they dealt with.
Paul is asking in chat, which one is the best? Is it the despecialized 4K 77 or the silver screen edition? Which one's best?
I have despecialized. It's the only one I can speak about because
this one is this one here happens to be the silver screen edition, but as I think silver screen and 4K, I thought were the same. Yeah. If they're not, it's because they are both in 4K. And if you read the description on this one, it actually says silver screen edition. So, it's which one is best? I would just say they're all, I don't really think you can quantify it because they're all just, you know, fan fiction for all intents and purposes, right? It's a Frankenstein version. So
quick number, Deej, so we don't get off topic, but a quick number, right? Best guess. How many times have you seen A New Hope?
Oh, I can't even. I wouldn't even be lying if I said. No, I don't think more than
I'll ask you in a second, John.
I don't think more than 500. No, I don't think more than that. That would be.
I'm at a couple hundred, though, for sure.
Easily.
I've seen it multiple times every year.
The 80s were brutal because it was on what? HBO, like every day.
Every day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I might be over 500 if you think about it that way.
I don't think I'm near that, but I've seen it a couple hundred times at least.
Yeah. It's got to be one of the films I've seen the most. But it would be over 100 times, but I don't think I could put a number on it.
Just to give you an idea. And I mean, I know I've seen it more than this, but like Springsteen, for instance, I've seen him live. I lost count in the 40s and I just stopped tracking. So to track Star Wars, forget it, you know, and that's not because like with Springsteen, it's because anytime he'd come to town, or anywhere, people would just, DJ, you want to go? Want to go? And I'm like, oh, I've seen him so many times. All right, let's go. And then I come home. I'm like, how could I not go to that? And people like to see me go crazy. So in the chat, John, about your room. Here we go. Nice from Mark V.
Oh, nice.
Paul Hurt. Very nice. Blue Wave. Nice job, John. Andrew Panna. Very cool, John. Well done.
Yeah, and the next one? What about the next one, Deej?
What, this one?
Yeah.
I'm blind.
That is a good one. That would be good. Yeah.
I'm gonna get a giant piece of art and just hang it.
There you go. There you go. All right. Who wants to go next? You ready?
Deej's choice.
All right. I would actually... boom.
All right. Yep. So this comes from my buddy Mark V. Sent me a recommendation for this movie a while back, but I wasn't able to find it streaming, and then all of a sudden it popped up on Paramount Plus. This is called Shaolin Soccer. I think he recommended it to me right after we watched Ip Man 1. This combines two things I really love, and that is martial arts and soccer, football, to be proper. So this is on, like I said, Paramount Plus. It's just streaming in HD 5.1. There's nothing special about it as far as the quality goes. And I was warned by Mark prior to watching this movie. But this is a movie, I'll tell you. Has anybody seen this besides me? Steve, have
I've
you seen,
it? I've seen bits of it.
Yeah. It is not great. It is not great. But it is really entertaining. You know, it's pretty bad acting. Now, Mark suggested, he said there's a couple of versions of this, and I should watch the original Chinese or Cantonese, whatever it is, cut with the English dub. And that's what I got. So I'm not sure if I got the version that he wanted me to see. But this was I'm assuming Chinese and dubbed into English. But yeah, there's it's not the best movie, and there's really not a whole lot here to comment on home theater wise. You know, it's upmixed into Neural X, so there was some ambient sound being forced into the system, but this wasn't really this wasn't really designed with a lot of that.
It's the gaffer,
right? Well, like Steve, like you said with Cannibal Holocaust, you know, I mean, things do show up there, but it wasn't mixed to be there. So
right.
It just kind of gets moved around by the Neural X. So I don't know if I recommend this movie, to be honest with you, but it's fun. It is actually really entertaining. As one might guess, it's a soccer team that utilizes Wushu with the players. You know, they have to fight Team Evil, which is like, you know, the soccer team that wins every year.
Jeez.
And they're put together to battle this. Every one of these guys, it's kind of like the old, like an old anime or like Dragon Ball Z or something. Every one of these characters has like a different kind of martial arts power. And they just, you know, incorporated into this soccer game. So, if you like martial arts, it's not even great for martial arts, to be honest with you. But if you like this genre and if you're looking for a laugh, because it is pretty funny, give it a watch. But be warned, it's not
right.
It's not that great.
Yeah.
So, like I said, Mark did tell me. You know, he was very honest about it. But he thought I would enjoy it, and I did. I did enjoy it, but take it for what it's worth.
Yeah, that's the goal, though. That's good.
Yeah, well, that's a good pun there, Deej, with a soccer film.
I've been working it out. I got notes here. I was working. I'm like, how can I work it? What works here? You know, always working behind the scenes.
I could smell the burning.
trade wins.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. This is a film that, like I said, I've seen bits of it. It's nothing like Ip Man. It's nothing like Fearless. It's nothing
like what, real movies? Yeah, well, by the sounds of it.
Yeah. This is one of those crazy madcap comedies that you know, we're doing the rounds in the 80s and the 90s. I think this is
Cannonball Run.
2001? Is this really 2001? I can see in that picture.
Yeah.
I could have swore this was mid 80s. It plays like a mid 80s sort of film, doesn't it? Right. But yeah, it's
well, that's bonkers. Like the Jet Li movie, The One. I told you guys we were talking.
It's a good film. I like The One.
Oh my God, have you seen it lately?
No, but I've seen it many times. Than it's decent.
Yeah, but Jason Statham. I said that when we were talking about it. Jason Statham's brutal in it, and I love Statham. But oh my God. But yeah, good.
So this is this is an acquired taste. I mean, I get how some people really like it. And again, it's got some cult appeal, but yeah, it's not I really like martial arts films, but I'm not really one for the martial arts comedies. Because you've got, I mean, Jackie Chan, there's a lot of humor in his movies, and I really like those, but this is going that several stops further on the bus to a completely different territory. But yeah. So I think you're right, John. It's about just as long as you know what you're getting going in.
Right.
Don't spend a lot of money on it.
Oh, no. Watch it on Paramount Plus.
There you go.
It's fine there. I can't imagine a Blu-ray is going to give you that much better experience audio or, you know, video wise than I got on Paramount Plus. So
we'll probably get it in 4K before we get True Lies.
Yeah. Yeah, quite.
All right. Let's see. What do we got next here? Steve coming in with another cheerful film.
No. This one, you'll like this one. This one you'll like. Yeah. So this
The title.
yeah, but it's not. It's an action thing. Yeah, it's good.
I know.
So this is a film called A Lonely Place to Die. Either of you heard of it?
I've heard of it. I'm trying to
think
if I've even seen it, but I don't think I have.
Okay. Well, it's a British movie from 2011, I think it was. Is that what I put in there? Yeah, from 2011, starring Melissa George, who's no relation.
Do they call her George too?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. she's an Aussie actress. You guys might know her from Mosquito Coast.
I know who she is.
The TV show. Yeah, she's in that. And she's been in some genre movies that have come out, and this is one of them. And this is a British kind of an action film. She's a climber with a group of climbers. They're in Scotland, and they are walking to the next sort of climb, and they hear a noise and they hear a voice and they're not sure what it is. And this is all within the first few minutes, not a spoiler. And they come across a funnel, a pipe sticking out of the ground, and they can hear a little girl in coming out of it. So they dig it up, and this little girl has been buried in this thing. So they bring her out, and they decide to get her to the nearest town, to Scotland. So they're quite far apart. And little do they know that what they've just done is stumbled across a kidnap plot. And the kidnappers are not very happy about it and start to hunt them down. And so it's then a sort of race to get to this village, this town, this village before the kidnappers off them all of this group. And it's a taut, well-told story. The lead bad guy is Sean Harris, the guy from Ghost Protocol. He's always a bad guy. He's never a good guy in anything. He's always a bad chap. And he's very good in this, and he's nasty, and he's exactly as what you'd expect. And so it's a good thriller. It's a 90-minute thriller, well worth watching, well worth seeing. A little bit of gore in it here and there. The audio is very, very nice on it. It's only 5.1 DTS master audio, but upmix via Neuralex. This is the kind of thing that Neuralex really excels at. Because when they're in the wilderness, you've got the wind and you've got thunder in the distant background and you've got all this kind of stuff, plus gunshots zipping about the place. And all of that nicely resolves into Neuralex. So you get the thunder above you. You get the bullets whipping around. And it really does work wonders with it. Really does a good job. And it looks decent. It's all lots of decent cinematography of the various mountains and the wilderness and all the rest of it. So this is a good film. This is the second time I've seen it. I hadn't seen it for ages. It was just a random. I thought, oh, do you know what? I'm seeing that for ages. I'll give that a go. And it's decent. So if you find it streaming somewhere, it'd be worth doing it. If you can find it dirt cheap on Blu-ray, I don't know if it's out over there. But if it is and it's cheap, it's worth picking up. I think you'd enjoy it. It's an easy watch. You can pretty much turn off your brain, but just enjoy it for what it is. So, yeah, I recommend this.
Nice.
It's good.
Cool.
Yes, don't let the title put you off.
I was like, well, not only that, the character on the rocks there looks like a zombie.
Yeah, she does.
Just the whiter face.
Yeah. It's a weird picture. I think the picture doesn't help, actually. I think the way I've taken that photo makes it
worse than it is. Okay.
Yeah. Not a zombie. No zombies in this.
Oh, okay. Well, you never know with your films.
Yeah. Well,
A Lonely Place to Die. I don't think I'd heard of this.
No, I'm surprised that either of you had. I mean, John, if you had one, I am surprised because it's not a big movie. It's one of these British thrillers.
Mm. I have not seen it, but I had heard of it. For those interested, it's on Amazon for $9.99.
Okay. What, Blu-ray?
Yeah, Blu-ray.
Oh, well, nice. It'd be worth it for that. That would be a decent kind of evening's entertainment.
And it looks like it's streaming on Amazon Prime for free. So,
give it a go, guys. Yeah.
Oh, anyone there you go.
Give it a whirl. Let me know what you think.
Nice. All right. Alrighty. Let's see. What do we want to get to next? We only have a couple left here. John, you want to go to the movies?
I do.
All right. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, now playing in theaters. John and I have been lucky enough to see it already. Steve has not. So there will be no spoilers this week. But hopefully next week we will have some spoiler talk at the end of the show. We'll wrap up the show and we'll end with that. But John, what did you think of it?
So I didn't love it as much as the rest of the world apparently loves it. To listen to the chatter out there, this is the best movie that Marvel's done since Endgame. I liked this movie. I didn't think it was like all that. I still think Guardians 1 is a better film. I think I like this one slightly more than 2. This one has a lot more feels to it, as you might guess from the end of the trilogy. But there's a sequence in this movie that I very much disliked, and I think that's what puts me off slightly.
Oh,
but that's a good tease
for the spoiler talk.
But overall, very 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 entertaining. Like I said, it has all the emotions that you would want it to have in kind of all the right places. And this, like we always say, this should be a fantastic home theater experience. Like the other two, it's got the soundtrack, it's got the visuals, you know, I think it's going to be fantastic at home. Very, very enjoyable, but it fell a little bit short for me, as opposed to like, I guess everybody else who thinks it's a masterpiece. I don't quite think it's a masterpiece, but I thought it was very entertaining. So, DJ, it looks like you saw it twice. Am I right?
No, I wanted to.
It was in notes twice, so that's why I thought.
Did I put it? No. You're seeing something else. But
no.
I'm going to see. You and I had this. We've had this discussion for years, ever since the first one came out. You've loved the first one.
Yes, one of my top three. So
correct.
It's a high bar for me, anyways.
And it was pretty low. Not pretty low. It wasn't that high for me. It was still one of my top movies in the MCU, but it didn't crack the top three like it did for you. This movie has actually elevated one for me. I thoroughly enjoyed this. I can't wait to talk to you when we get to spoilers next week about what the sequence was that you didn't like. I'm sure I don't think I'll disagree with you but I want to save it for next week. But I just thought that the writing, the ride that you go on through this, there's a lot to it for a third installment that is definitely better than the second one. And I really enjoyed the second one too. Not as much as the first, but this one here is the best of the three for me. Like you, I'm not sure I would go as far as to say it's the best thing since Endgame. Because we've got some pretty good, I think, some pretty good competition there with No Way Home. I really did enjoy
Ant-Man. The only thing since Endgame that is competition is No Way Home. Because everything else falls very far short.
Well, I loved Love and Thunder. When experiencing them in the theaters, I thought, Multiverse of Madness, I thought was a lot of fun. I try to come in to each of these, without the expectations of the previous 3 to 4 phases, and just come in because it's a really unfair ranking because there's just so many movies, and I never think of any of these movies as masterpieces. Anyways, they're comic book movies,
right?
And but this one, like you said, John, home theater wise,
it's gonna be great.
I think it's gonna be great. I think it's going to be up there for HDR with Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, and with Multiverse of Madness and with Thor Love. And I mean, look at the movies they've had coming out lately and the way they're shooting them and the colors and the colorfulness and all of the, just go down the line. And even going back to No Way Home, and you think of those scenes in the color, the HDR, it's like these things are, I think they're nailing it there. I people have their issues with the sound. Not every movie has to be Lucy. So I really enjoy these tracks and I'm expecting the same out of this one. Can't wait for Steve to see it. And then we'll be able to, I think it'll be a fun spoiler chat next week at the end of the show. So
I will do what I can to see it this week. I do want to see it. And, you know, I'm slightly worried again, though, guys. I mean, maybe without spoiling it, you can allay my fears. James Gunn has been putting up a lot of stuff on Twitter, a lot of videos, and all of it looked like animals have been experimented on and things like that, which I'm a little bit reticent about.
Well, that is very much a sub theme.
Well, I don't think that's a spoiler. That's Rocket. Yeah.
Right.
That's Rocket. Yeah, that's been a theme through the first two movies.
There's more than just Rocket.
Yeah. Pictures of animals with kind of, you know, metal legs and that all.
Yep.
That slightly kind of unnerves me a little bit. I mean, there's no overt cruelty, I do hope.
No.
I will say this, though. The first comment, I saw this with my son, my daughter, and my son-in-law. And the first comment that my son-in-law said as soon as we got up to walk out, he's like, that is the most violent MCU movie I've seen.
Hmm.
And
I take it back. There is some cruelty.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
My daughter could not stop crying. It is very emotional to pull at you. And I'll tell you what my response to my son-in-law was. When you go John Wick, it's going to get violent. And it's basically the MCU version. It's like, I would think if you're bringing a kid to this that isn't 13, you might want to think twice. I don't think I would have a problem taking a 13-year-old, but I also understand why people would not want to take a 13-year-old to this. Okay. Right, John?
Yeah. Do you agree? Yeah, I do agree. Yeah.
Okay.
That's worth knowing.
I guess the thing that makes it palatable is they're
CGI.
They're all CGI animals.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's no.
But they really pull at the heartstrings, though.
They do. No, they do.
Oh, my
they
God. Do.
But
it's,
I mean, no animals
ironically, I didn't. Yeah, no, I didn't cry at all in this. Did you, John? Did you get choked up? I did at the end. I got a little choked up.
I felt a little lump. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, but it takes a lot to get the water flowing for me.
But I was sitting next to my daughter and she was just bawling. And I was pulling a John. I was like, wow, look at me, the Rock. Because normally I'd be like blubbering idiot, but I don't know why. I'm like, I don't know. But and that's one of the reasons I really do like it. And then going back to, you know what, boys? Look, we're going to do this here because, you know, we are that professional.
Mike, I'm not going to lie.
There we go.
Yeah, there's some stuff in the chat, Deej. Before we just move on a minute, you've got AA in the chat says that PETA gave the movie an award. That's the people for the ethical treatment of animals.
I bet. Yeah.
And then Mike Schramm saying his 13-year-old loved it.
But that's a 13-year-old. That's why I said if you're under 13, I could understand why. And I'd see why a 13-year-old would like it. But I could also see like some people will bring like a 10 or 11-year-old to something like this and be like, oh, well, they and it might be a little scary and it might be maybe too emotional for them because my daughter's 23 and she was pretty emotional. She wants to see it again, but not in a hurry, but it does love it.
You won't, Paul.
Yeah, Paul Hurt says, man, I cried in RoboCop. I'm not going to make it into the galaxy.
Brock Star coming in. Absolutely. I want to get this out. First Marvel movie with an F-bomb.
Yep. Okay. Well, if you don't include the X-Men movies.
Well, they're not Marvel. They weren't.
The X-Men are in it.
They're part of the Marvel universe now, but they are not produced by Marvel, right? Mm-hmm. This is Marvel, like the,
first MCU movie, I suppose.
Right.
Yeah, I got you.
And I don't know, to me, did it feel very, like, we just want to have this in the movie, so we're going to engineer a situation to use it?
I honestly didn't notice it, and that's me. I didn't.
But
my kids told me on the parking lot. They're like, I was like, I didn't even hear it. I got to go see it again to hear it. It didn't even faze me,
felt a little shoehorned in there, but
To hear it to comment.
Was there. I noticed it right away.
It's it happened.
Mark Hader got choked up. Mike Schramm cried. Not going to lie. Oh, I don't blame you. I was shocked. I didn't. I tell you guys know I've cried here. What the hell? Why would I lie to you? The hell, I almost cried reading Dan's story, so that's me. But yeah, it's tough. It is tough.
That's worth knowing. All right. Well, I will not take my little viewing buddy. I will.
There you go. I'd see it first and then maybe revisit. It's definitely worth revisiting. And I know John didn't like it as much as me, but.
Yeah, I mean,
but I watch it multiple times. I didn't dislike it. Don't get me wrong.
I'm looking forward to going back to the theater. Unfortunately, it's got a weird setup this week at my local theater where I saw it. It might rain here on Friday, so I'm like, oh, me and my daughter were thinking of going back to see it. It's not playing at all.
Really?
They have a bunch of other, crap. They're just featuring because of some special day or something.
Oh,
but I'm
I was
like,
gonna say, because that seems odd. Star Wars
Day? On a Friday, you're going to miss out on how many people want to re-see this or see it for the first time after hearing all the talk, and you're going to take a weekend off from this. I was like, that wasn't cool. Odd.
Yeah,
I didn't like that at all. But like I said, I was so taken aback by it. I threw, Guardians of the Galaxy on the Kaleidoscape 4K HDR Dolby Atmos. I've talked about it in the past. I think I did a whole show on it, and the story itself, so much more. I highly recommend it. It's a great, great home theater experience. The music, the surround sound, the bass, it does have that kind of feel, like everybody's saying, what do they call it? Atmos. It's maybe not as bass heavy as people would like, but I still find it, like, once you're into these movies, I love it. There's a couple of dated lines in there. I won't say what it is, but at 1845, I don't think that line would play today. You guys can go and look for you. Oh, yeah.
What it be?
It's Rocket yells something that you'll see it and hear it and go, oh yeah, that might not play. Let's see, 25 minutes and 20 seconds, the Hooked on a Feeling comes on. I put it in the notes. I had to, because I was literally singing in my theater at the top of my lungs. Which is great, because I'm at reference level, so I really couldn't hear myself. So that
myself
worked.
Out.
Yeah, I drowned myself out. 33:45, Nebula walks off. She walks across. She's talking with Thanos. She's meeting. There's a meeting in the movie. Now, this is all Guardians. This isn't spoilers for Guardians 3, but this is all from Guardians, which we've seen. 33:45, Nebula's talking, and she walks across the screen to the left, and she walks over, and just walks off screen, and you can hear a voice go off the screen. It's really cool. Really cool. What's the matter?
Andrew in the chat. Yeah. Last comment.
Oh, let me see. There we go. I did get choked up. The missus turned around. Nice. That's awesome. Oh, that's great. At 58 minutes and 50 seconds. Oh, I'm sorry. At 35 minutes and 15 seconds, the escape scene. This is the one I talked about. Rich Keefe used this when we set up his theater and one of his first scenes he wanted to play. So this is a great, great demo scene. Lots of stuff flying around the room because they're floating around. And then that's pretty cool too, because you have that probably the first time we see Rocket on the back of Groot, and he's like, oh yeah. And it's a really cool scene. But yeah, so much fun with this, and so many, what's fun about going back through the older phases like this, there's so many Easter eggs, which, from, like, if you've ever done any storytelling, it's like some of them were on purpose and then others weren't. They're just like, how can we write this into a movie and stuff? And really, really, this, I don't want to spoil anything from 3, but it's definitely worth revisiting. I'm going to be doing Guardians 2, maybe this week, maybe next week, but seeing Guardians 3 really, really just it elevated Guardians 1 for me a lot. So really enjoyed that, and it's a great home theater experience to boot. So
does the Kaleidoscape version switch ratios to each, like the 3D version does on the Blu-ray?
No. Kaleidoscape is very rare that you would get a variable aspect ratio. It wasn't until Maverick came out that we started noticing that there were more than just that. Like Wonder Woman 1984 has variable. There's a few others as well. There was a list of them, but we didn't know Most everybody thought that Kaleidoscape only had, you know, if anything, they had 240. And then, you know, so
The 4K disc is set as well as 235, right. But the Blu-ray, the 3D Blu-ray does switch. So the IMAX scenes are full screen.
And this is also on Disney Plus in, I believe.
IMAX Enhanced.
IMAX yes. Enhanced. Yes.
Yeah. Which would be the same thing. The prison escape is all IMAX Enhanced. And the initial bit, I mean, my favorite bit of the movie is right at the beginning.
Yeah.
Peter Quill, Come Get Your Love. Is right. just
Oh, that. Yeah.
If ever there was a sequence to establish a tone of a movie moving forward, right at the beginning, it's that. I can remember vividly in the cinema just having the broadest grin on my face and just sort of, I was slouched down, sort of sitting up thinking, okay, we're in safe hands here. And just, you know, absolutely brilliant.
Because none of us knew what we were in for going into this movie. Because we're like Guardians of the Galaxy. That's such a, like a F-level team. It's not even A or B. It's like F or G, you know, down the list of comics. You know.
And at a time when Chris Pratt was not a major star, he wasn't.
Not yet. I mean,
he was, if you'd watched
Parks and Rec. He was a star, but
yeah. So if you'd seen Parks and Rec, you knew him, but he wasn't a AAA movie star.
Right.
And really, there were very few movie stars in that film. The whole thing.
We didn't even mention it. Do you remember him in Wanted?
Yeah, he's young. Yeah,
we didn't even mention it when we talked about Wanted.
Chris Pratt
was in Wanted, and he was kind of a nice guy, kind of prick. Like, we all have a friend like that, right?
he was doing some fairly unpleasant things with the main character's girlfriend.
Right, but he wasn't even being secret about it. He was just like, that's guys being guys, you know, and you're like,
So it should have bombed. The audience should never have become what it was. But as soon as Pratt walks on the screen and you know, starts the Walkman, and when he's singing into the creature, and then it's just brilliant.
I also had that in the opening, the harmonies with my new setup. I was like, holy crap, the harmonies were spread out around me, sounded so much better. You could hear him too, or the music. And it's just a great opening scene. It's a great home theater scene. It's dark, got some great HDR, but it sets the tone for the entire, you know, series, really. The levity of that series. Music and,
So very, very cool. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. So highly recommended. So
just doing my job here, guys. We got 45 minutes. So
all right. Perfect. That's what's job is that?
The one I was assigned
previously. All right.
We're late.
All right. So what do we have left? We've got
two ones I can do quite quick if need be.
Okay.
Okay.
I was actually going to see if you wanted to save this till next week because I have it and I'll watch it.
We can save it.
Do you want to do that? All right.
Yeah, we can.
So coming up next week, we have Detox. Or better known as, in the States anyway, I See You. Isn't that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, if we're going to do this next week, and we're saying this out loud so people may want to watch it as well.
Yeah.
Can I just, a word of warning, ladies and gents, okay? Mainly gents, let's face it. But ladies and gents, is this. Do not, under any circumstances, watch the trailer. Because the trailer gives the killer away blatantly.
So you hear that, John? Stop watching the trailers.
Message because received.
The killer in the film has voice modulation.
He goes, Steve's going to tell us. The
killer in the film has a voice modulation applied, like Scream. But on the trailer, they don't.
Oh, no.
So it's very clear. So don't watch the trailer, guys.
Nice.
Watch the trailer. All
right. Yeah.
There's a warning on IMDb about it.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. So
but we'll not in the trailer. All right, so we'll move this to next week because I'm going to watch it as well. So now, John, maybe you can jump in on that. And we have a comment coming up in the listener comments just about exactly what we're doing right now.
Okay.
All right. What else did we have, Steve?
I have one more.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
We're going to want to talk about. Yes. You want to do that first? You want me to do it first? What do you want to do?
You go first. You can go. Okay. And then.
So this is Dungeons & Dragons, then, Honor Amongst Thieves.
John's seen it as well.
Yes. Yep. Now, John, you saw it in the cinema, didn't you, in theater?
I did, yes.
Steve, you got it on Kaleidoscape, and I saw a screener, so we've got it all covered. So in terms of the film then, because I might be the one least enthusiastic about the movie.
Really?
I thought it was okay. I thought it was all right. I didn't love it at the end of my first viewing. I think it looks brilliant. You know, there's a lot of the production value is high. You know, they've tried to give you another world, and it does look Lord of the Ringsy at times. It looks like they've spent a lot of money on the various locations. It moves things along quite a lot. And it sounded good even on the screener, which is not in Atmos. It was 5.1. So it looks good. Sounded okay. Really good. I thought the story and mostly the jokes, for me, mainly missed rather than hit. I thought the jokes were very root one, very obvious, and not. Some of them were fine, but some of them were a bit rubbish for me personally. Now I saw it with a little viewing buddy who really enjoyed it, but I was just like thinking, well, you know, I don't know. I thought it was a little bit on the nose and a bit obvious, and so a lot of it didn't work for me. But I will be buying the 4K disc. I will give it another go. There are some nice homages. I won't give anything away to the cartoon from the 80s, and then there are some nice bits from the movie, which is nice to see. I'd forgotten this stuff, and yet as soon as I saw it, I remembered it. So yeah, for me, out of 5, I'd probably give it a 2.5 at the moment. But as I said, that's me. I think you guys liked it a lot more than I did. So tell me why I'm wrong.
I'm not going to say you're wrong. I thought it was funny that you said your watching buddy enjoyed it a lot more because you know, you are arguably way more mature than either DJ or I. So I think we're more on par with your little watching buddy.
Right.
And so maybe that's why we enjoyed it more.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say the same thing.
But, you know, again, for me,
comedies. You know, for me,
I'm very much into the D&D world. So all of the Easter eggs that maybe you and DJ didn't catch at all.
Right.
Were all there for me. You know, all the locations, all the creatures, all the spells and things that they name dropped all meant something to me. Whereas for the average viewer, it's just a fantasy movie and you don't have to know any of that stuff. Like I said, when I talked about it, but if you do know it, it hits, I think, a little bit differently for you. So I had a lot of nostalgia for D&D because I've played it. I've played the games. I've been around it. I sell it. You know, I'm very much into that world. So,
yeah, it's I was surprised how much I liked it because this was one that I actually waited to hear from John about it, whether I was even going to buy it. It came up quickly on Kaleidoscape as a pre-sale. And I talked to John after seeing it because this wasn't my genre. I wasn't a big fan of the trailer for this. I didn't think the trailer looked good at all. I thought it looked hokey. And I was like, wow, this looks just bad. And then John had seen it and I liked what he had to say about it. So I was like, all right. So I bought it on the pre-sale. And then it was literally last Tuesday. It showed up on my Kaleidoscape that morning as a surprise. And I was like, oh, all right. So I started watching it and I was enjoying it. And I'm like I said in the show last week, I couldn't wait to get to the rest of it. And it really was, you know, a lot of fun. I think Steve, maybe like, and I like how you prefaced it with on your first viewing. And because most people say that after they've had two or three and they go, oh, my first one, I didn't like it, but you know yourself well enough that when you come back afterwards, and I think when you get the 4K, I think when you get the surround, you know, the Atmos track, I think you'll be like, okay, it gets you a little bit more invested. I will say the Atmos track on this, I'm trying to qualify myself because I like these things. I like the sound on this, but this is closer to what you would expect, I think, so far, to what you would expect from Disney. And this isn't a Disney title. It's Paramount. And there are some sequences in this, similar to Ant-Man and the Wasp, where Quantumania, where the bass is really good. And you're like, wow, that's got some punch. But then you guys probably can imagine there's some scenes with some heavier animals that were like, remember in, was that a Mandalorian or was that Obi-Wan?
It was Obi-Wan, actually
when the things, Andor, and the things dropped and there was no base. Andor, right?
Yeah.
There were actually a couple of scenes in this one that if you're looking for stuff like that, you'll be like, well, where the hell did that go? But I'm not like that. But I have to recognize that people will be like that. So I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good dynamic track. Wasn't Lucy, wasn't super low, but I thought it had some nice bass, some good punch. I thought the 4K was really, really good. Not the best 4K I've seen. There's some darker scenes that were a little bit more grayed out than I would have liked. They had some nighttime shot scenes similar to we've seen in other things that maybe did a little bit better, but it's still, there's so much color. The weapons in here, some of them light up a la like lightsabers or something. The glow on them, the vibrancy is really, really nice. And I just think it's getting really good reviews. I think people are going to have a lot of fun with the 4K and the Atmos in this. It's a good, good movie. I wouldn't say it's referenced by any stretch on either of them, but it's a fun movie with a great, you know, great HDR and Atmos experience that I think everybody would enjoy. So I'm looking forward. And it actually, I think it drops next week. Well, we're going to talk about that. Not this. I'm sorry. This one doesn't. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, this is a long way off. Yeah.
This one's a long way. Yeah.
I'm not even sure there's a date yet. Is there?
No, I was thinking it's up for
pre-order on Amazon, but there's no date that I remember seeing.
It'll be July, won't it? End of July. Because it came out, February, March? So it'll probably be July, I would imagine. August tops.
Yeah. And it's, well, you never know. You never know. It's, you know, I mean, the fact that it's on Kaleidoscape already was a shock to me.
Right. Yeah, but Paramount have history with that. Look at Maverick.
Yeah.
Maverick took forever.
Exactly.
Right, but not to get to Kaleidoscape.
No.
Right. Oh, I see what you're saying. Kaleidoscape to right. Yeah, it came out long. To digital. Right. Yep. Yeah, you're right. So you're right.
A similar sort of thing. We could be waiting months and months for this.
But I think also part of that was because they wanted to get every last dime out of the theatrical run of Maverick.
Oh, yeah.
D&D is not still making money in the theater, so no.
It's getting good reviews though from everybody. I mean,
yeah,
I mean, Steve liked it, but it wasn't the, you know, I think he's the worst review I've heard of it so far. It's like, well, to be honest,
I went in with it with much more elevated expectations because I like you, DJ. I thought the trailers made it look dreadful.
Yeah,
and honestly, if John hadn't said how good it was and the reviews in that, I wouldn't have even bothered with it on the basis of those trailers. I would have steered clear. Right. So I might have gone in with it with slightly elevated expectations, and that may well have impacted how I saw it. I mean, I did see it in the cinema room. I didn't watch it most screeners. I watch in my front room, but I did watch this, you know, in the cinema room because, again, viewing buddy really wanted to see it on a bigger screen and I thought I would.
That makes sense.
So it may well be second time around in 4K with Atmos that I will relax and enjoy it more.
Yeah.
Interestingly, I think Hugh Grant is doing an impression of our ex-Prime Minister Boris Johnson throughout. But I think only sort of British people will get it, but I think he's very clearly doing that impression.
And I will reiterate again, I really wish the trailers would not have spoiled him as the bad guy. Because the movie, it's in all the trailers,
right.
But the movie
fairly early on that you find out.
It is, but it doesn't start out that way. And if you didn't know that going into it, it would have been a little bit more of a surprise moment when you find out in the movie. But I know I just spoiled it, but I mean it's in every trailer. Again. It's
in every single trailer. People spoil things, so let me just spoil it for you.
Yeah.
So
when you spoil it.
Is now a good time to say Patrick Stewart's in it?
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
let's not go there. Let's not go there. Dude. We know what happens when we do that.
Exactly. And on that note, you ready to get to coming soon? We'll fly through these.
Yeah.
All right. All right, everybody. Long awaited, much anticipated, coming May 16th, the new Spears and Munsell disc. And if you've seen our buddy Todd over at AV Nirvana, he featured it. He already has his copy. And oh, lo and behold, it comes with the blue lens for everybody, which I think is hysterical. I'll be honest with you. I'm like, I have the blue lens from my Video Essentials still. And I'm going to say, in my opinion, I'm going to go real controversial here and say that thing is so outdated. Displays nowadays are so good at color and everything compared to when I used to do, like, I had the blue lens from my Laserdisc. I had the blue lens from my DVD version. Displays back then, you actually made a difference as a dum-dum with a blue lens over your eyes, adjusting the cut. You actually made a difference. I think now that when you take that blue lens up, you're going to be like, I don't even know what to move. Displays are so good at rendering color now that you really, appropriately, that you need, when I've had, you know, Jim, my calibrator in, the way he moves the little dots, how small he moves that triangle to dial in the projector on an out-of-the-box projector is so small that it's the blue lens to me is more like, okay, do you want to calibrate your TV from 1989? Here you go. I don't know. Am I wrong, guys?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. So what is our official policy on this, DJ? Now, I know we are a broad church, but is the official policy, ideally, if you can, and I stress that, have it professionally calibrated. But if you can't, for whatever reason, be it they're not available or the expense,
yeah,
then use this. Is that kind of what we would say or not?
Because
I would.
Steve, this isn't for you. I don't think you would even want to. You're past your days of tweaking.
I used to do it years ago.
Well, I mean, I used to do all sorts of crap years ago, and now I'm like, I want people to experience it. And it's like, I mean, I think the last Spears and Munsell, which I use, the complaint about that was it's too complicated. And people had issues. So I'm hoping maybe this one is a little bit better. Comes with a booklet and stuff. So, for the tweaker out there, which I still consider myself one, I've pre-ordered it. I'm hoping to have mine soon.
You've got to come up with a better term than tweaker. What? You missed this last time. John and I, have you not seen Breaking Bad?
No, I haven't. Yeah, I have not.
A tweaker is someone who uses crystal meth.
Yeah. 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 Well, there you go. Okay. So was I wrong? No.
Well, I don't know.
You don't care what
you do on your own time, DJ, is up to you.
Yeah, exactly. I we won't go on that tangent. But
we'll do that.
Not the drugs, the show. Not the
as your lawyer, I'd advise against it.
No, I meant the show.
Oh, okay, all right.
Fine. I meant the show. But no, I think if you want to if you want to fiddle, no, that's not gonna work. If you want
to adjust.
If you want to adjust tinker, yeah, tinker toys, there you go. If you want to tinker, definitely, you know, this is the disc for you. I'm really looking forward to it for the test patterns and stuff like that. But I really do, I think if you want to, you want to tinker, definitely do this. I've never said don't mess around with your stuff. Definitely, because that's how you learn. You'll learn what looks bad, what looks... I mean, the best thing to do is go on your system and just go and pull the bar all the way to the left and then pull the bar all the way to the right and see what it does to your TV and stuff or your display and then dial it in as best you can to see how far you're off. And then, you know, if you can get a pro calibrator out there, really nowadays, that's just for ease of mind. I agree with a lot of people that say you don't need one, but I also agree that if you want one, it's definitely worth it. Because if you want one, that means you just want to know. I want to know that this is right. And even if they come out and go, beep, beep, perfect, you know it. Good. Thank you very much. Pro told me it's perfect. And then that's all you need. So, all right. Now we'll fly through these. This is the one I was referring to. Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, already out on disc, which to me that's fairly quick. No, guys? Am I wrong?
Yeah, we don't get it till the end of the month here, but yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it is quick. Yeah, it is quick.
And this is part of the rumors we're hearing about Disney getting bit more into the physical media, looking to cash in, make some more money, which we've been saying for years, there's more money out there to be made. And here you go. Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania 4K release next Tuesday, May 16th. We also have a Best Buy 4K release, exclusive Best Buy 4K release coming next week. We also have a Walmart exclusive.
Quite weak, is it?
Now, I haven't, to be honest, I haven't heard if there's any differences. In the past, they did this with Transformers. They've done it with other things. There will be different features in each one to make nut jobs like myself,
you know, buy them all.
Buy them all. And I have. So I've already got it once on Kaleidoscape. How many more do I have?
Well, come on, Deej. If we're in the top 3% of podcasts, now when is the Brightside exclusive version going to be dropping? That's what we really want to know.
I know. Top 3% of all podcasts. I don't know. Available, I think we have Disney. To make the top one. Yeah, exactly. Well, which cover do you guys like? Just going off
I like
of that.
The middle one. The middle one's that one.
This one here?
I really like that. Yeah, that's quite
that
cool.
One, the Best Buy exclusive? Mm. I don't know. I kind of like that one. Yeah, the main one's nice too. Yeah. Yeah.
Just a little bit Photoshoppy.
It is.
You know, but, so I put a,
they all are.
Put on top of, yeah, but just yeah. The it kind of looks like faces just stuck on thing. Whereas that looks quite cool. Although possibly.
Yeah, they're more the Walmart and the, I mean, definitely the Best Buy is the most artistic, right? Mm. I'd say. And it's kind of the family.
And is that Steelbook?
Yeah, those are Steelbooks. These are both. I don't know if you'd call this a Steelbook, though.
I'm trying to look. It doesn't say that it is one.
Yeah, this is Cinematic Universe Edition from Walmart, Marvel Studios Limited Edition. And it comes with an enamel pin, too. So there you go. On the Walmart one. Yeah.
Can I use this moment to announce actually there is a special edition Cinema George version? You ready to see the artwork?
Oh, geez.
Really good. Look at that artwork. Just look at that. Let special me, Cinema George version.
Yeah, hold that up to your camera there. What is
it? Look, see.
I love the way you've used the negative space. That
special edition. Look at that. Look at that. Brilliant.
Oh, wow.
Took ages.
That's great. You have it saved specially for that one. Notice it's only one, too, so you're not buying extra copies.
No.
All right. Next up from 2003, The Italian Job. Isn't this already out?
No, the original one is out, not the.
No,
not
but
the
I thought remake. This one was too.
Oh, was it?
Okay.
I thought it was too. Yeah, but maybe not.
And I'm not going to do any research. I know I already have it on Kaleidoscape, but in 4K. But I thought it was already out on disc too, because we also have a steelbook of this coming out as well. So
the British DNA that I have says that really we should be sticking with the original, and I'm not sure this exists.
I liked it. I thought it was
cool. I actually
no, I know,
it.
I know,
it
I know.
Fun. It's a fun movie.
But you're remaking a stone cold, die in the wool British classic.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not even up for debate in terms of that. It is British as Big Ben.
Right.
So to then go, you know, to remake it just feels so wrong.
Well, John knows me really well, and he knows, I mean, this actor in this movie, I'd watch read the phone book. So I mean, any Mark Wahlberg, I'm in.
Yeah.
No. Charlize Theron. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah,
she was great in this. She's great in everything. So, and we are getting that pretty soon, aren't we? The comic, the one that was on Netflix, Old Guard. Yeah. That should be
coming soon,
fairly soon. Yeah. Looking forward to that. Not on disc. That's coming on Netflix. We have The Longest Yard from 1974. Also coming next week. That should be interesting to hear about. Operation Fortune, which I think John, you're the only one that's talked about it. We haven't seen it yet. So
yeah, I'll be importing that. It's all very Route One. It's all very, very formulaic, but it's fun.
Yeah.
It is fun. Right.
Don't tell John anything.
Who the bad guy is.
Yep. Don't tell him. It's right there on the cover, but don't tell him. and let's see what else we got. Oh,
I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah. Have they done this yet for any of the Picard? No. Isn't out in 4K, right?
No, none. And yeah. Neither is any.
We're talking about Strange New Worlds, Star Trek, Strange New Worlds, yeah. Which just ended in the fall, right?
Yeah. None of the seasons of Discovery are on 4K either. So this is the first Paramount Star Trek release. Season 2 premieres, I think, middle of June, if I'm not mistaken. I really loved this first season of this show. I'm definitely going to pick this up.
I'm hoping it drops on Kaleidoscape. I would grab it in a heartbeat. Yeah. And because I haven't seen it yet. I know really I didn't get it, and you've been dying to get me to watch it.
Yeah.
Because I've been dying to watch it. I just haven't had a chance. So awesome.
Yeah, really fun.
I was excited to see that for you.
But I'm excited that it's coming in 4K.
Exactly.
Even more than the show itself, just the fact that it's coming in 4K, because hopefully that paves the way for more.
Yep.
I mean, I know Amazon has done a couple as well, but so many of these streaming series deserve 4K releases. So
yeah,
I hope we get more of them. And that's what. But we're only going to get them if people go out and buy these things. So
yeah,
I mean, don't buy it if you don't like Star Trek, obviously. But if you want to see more of this stuff, you have to go out and buy these things, because
yeah, they also make great coasters.
Right.
See. All right. Yeah, absolutely. That's why I'm hoping it shows up on Kaleidoscape so I can buy it there too. See? We also have Shooter dropping, and I thought this was already out on 4K as well.
Yeah, it's been out here for ages. So I'm surprised if it's not already out there. It's a decent disc though. It's a good disc.
Yeah. So
trying to see if it was, it's not a steelbook. I'm wondering why it's being released again. If it's
From 2007.
I don't see anywhere on here where it's an anniversary release or anything.
Nope. Nope. Yeah. So weird, really weird. So that will do it. Let me see. What do we got next? All right. Yeah. We got to really cook, because we got a couple we definitely have to get to.
I thought we had another giveaway.
And it's coming up. It's in the notes. It's actually in a listener comment. So we will be doing it when it comes up there. So let's get to that, right? Listener experiences. All righty. Let's see. I just have to pull one up here. All right. There you go. Can one of you guys see that and read that?
Yeah, I can see that. Do you want me to read it?
Yes, yeah. Please.
Okay, so this is from Steve. It's an email. Steve at in the chat, Stephen at. And it says the following. It says, DJ, I didn't get onto the live stream this week, but saw a DM from Steve George, whoever that may be, and my worst nightmares came true. I don't think that's because I DM'd him. I think the raffle came about before I bought that bag of popcorn, or maybe not, but I certainly didn't do that to get in the raffle. I think elsewhere I've tweeted that I was part of the X1 crowdfunding, so I got one for $99. He's talking about the
sulfur baton.
Sulfur baton, okay. And after 4 months, I finally tried it. Didn't work for me, since I have a cable set-top box that is the primary media display in the bedroom. The other TVs all have Harmony hubs. The X1 has no real way to type in 3 or 4 channel addresses, especially in the dark. The digits are in the scroll window. That just doesn't work. Hard number buttons are the best option for set-top boxes. Harmony Companion with LED display like in Harmony Elite being second choice. Still trying to find some place that the X1 will be useful. The customer service didn't really understand my feedback. Solution for me sounded like making a macro for every channel address I wanted to use, so the Z1 remains in a box, pick attached. In fact, while my wife was away last week, I replaced the Harmony one that I had in the bedroom with a third Harmony hub that has its own issues. I'd love to try Roomy Remote, but with an already tired Home Assistant implementation, it seems clear to me that RR is another hobbyist tool and no one else in this house would use it, especially once I pass on to the great home theater in the sky. It's a bit dark, Steve. Anyway, so while I'm happy to win anything and don't
and
want
you
to
love it.
So while I'm happy to win anything and don't want to sound ungrateful, is there something you can do to maybe raffle the X1 off and get some bucks to put towards one of the charities? And thanks for putting some of my feedback / experiences on the show. I do enjoy how much you guys have fun doing that show for 3 hours. And that's signed Steve. So yeah, we have a second winner.
We're going to have a second winner. And before we get to that, as everybody knows, we're looking for a number. Give me a number between 1 and 209 again. And don't give me 37, because that's
37.
in a row. What,
no, that's what won last time.
I made the same joke last week.
Deej just doesn't get it, does he?
He does
not get that joke.
I'm trying to run things here. Sorry. I don't have time to pay attention to you guys. That's why I listen back. That's how I got us to the top 3%.
Yeah.
I keep listening.
Fair enough.
Point taken.
Thank you. But yes, if you guys are done busting my chops here, I would like to thank Steve, because as we said in
you're welcome, you know, oh, sorry, no, sorry.
That one. You're George. This is Steve A. Thank you, Steve, because we were talking before we came on the show.
I said 144, by the way.
Okay. Thank you. And we're going to go down, because I'm not going to go through that again. And okay. So anyways, I know who the winner is. That is coming up momentarily with the password of Rosebud. So everybody that sent in Rosebud, hold your tickets. but thank you, Steve A, for even saying you could have just taken this and put it online and could have made yourself a few bucks. And it's just a testament to what a great community this is that Steve's like, no, you know what? Let's give it back and let somebody else give it a shot. It works for some people. It doesn't work for others. But it's part of the journey. It's part of the fun. So, thanks Steve for doing that. Cause now we'll get to hear from, John Mensor. He's the winner. So we'll get to find out from John, what he thinks of the Sofa Baton. And, so he's the lucky winner for this. Thank you to everybody for playing along. And again, thanks Steve for resubmitting. Because he didn't have to do that. I mean, there is a value here, and it's thanks to Nelson as well for donating it in the first place. So, John Mensor, get me your information, your address, and I will get that off to Nelson, and we'll get it shipped out to you ASAP. All right. So that is that. Anybody else? Would you like to comment on that? Anything else you want to bust me on here?
Yes,
I'm going to come back at you.
When we say 37... What are we talking about? What film is that from?
I have no idea. Didn't you say it last week?
Shake your head.
I did say it last week.
So what? I know, and I forget. What was it? I'm forgetting everything. Carrie Fisher.
It's from Clerks.
It is from Clerks.
Sir.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah.
No, 37 and then in a row. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
My girlfriend blanked 37 blanks.
Blanks.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, don't blank any blanks as you cross the parking lot.
It's classic, DJ. Come on.
Yeah, I know, but that's not where my mind goes. All right,
it's the only place my mind goes.
I know. All right, 17 minutes, boys.
All right, so logos and openings commented on our video, Jurassic World Dominion 4K. I find it wild that Kaleidoscape's 4K version of the movie has Dolby Atmos, but their 1080p version of the actual physical discs have DTS:X. That must have been incredibly expensive for Universal.
So I replied back to him right away, or her, logos and openings, whatever that is. Thank you for the comment. But no, because look, if you look now here, I just grabbed two off of IMDb for Top Gun Maverick and Jurassic Park from 93. So I wanted to get the two, like the time span, you know? So look at them sound mixes that are produced for these movies.
They're all produced.
They're not doing this extra. And especially going back to Jurassic Park, this is kind of why THX was made, because they didn't down mix it for the home release back then. Now they do. But DTS or DTS:X for Maverick, you have Atmos, you have Oro 11.1, IMAX 6-track, 12-track digital sound, Sonics DDP. Steve, do you have that in your system?
Can't say I've heard of that. Isn't that a hedgehog? Oh, no, that's a different
exactly.
Sorry, I'm very confused. Yeah.
But then look at Jurassic Park. They have DTS. And then at the bottom, they have DTS, DTS:X. They have it twice set up there because that's probably for the whole mix. DataSat 3D re-release, SDDS, which is the Sony version.
Yeah.
Yep. 3D re-release and Dolby Digital for Europe. And this, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, was the first DTS movie back then. or at least at home. But I'm pretty sure this is what the introduction of DTS to the world. And it sent the, you know, which I love because, and we should all love in home theater because it put Dolby on their heels. And now we have a great battle going, which is better. But yes, I don't think it's any more expensive or whatever, you know, and I think they do that just for the conversation piece, to be honest with you. And as we talked about, there really wasn't that much of a difference. So, let's see. Tommy Guns commented on our video from Deep Impact 4K on Kaleidoscape and Disc. Tommy says there is a mathematical template for everything in real world usage. There are facts of opinions. If your room is tuned to you, then you're all set. So commenting on us, and you should see, if you haven't, go to the YouTube HT Tours and look at Tommy Gunn's theater. It's over the top crazy. He sends me updates all the time and I have to email him back and be like, what changed here? Because he has so much stuff. Like he changes out knickknacks, posters, this, that, and the other thing. It's awesome. It's the exact opposite of like stealth, cleanliness, everything. Not that it's dirty, but he has posters every, it's a museum. It's awesome. I love it. But yeah, your theater, and I think we were talking about in this episode that your theater is, it's yours.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, don't worry about what other people think. Don't try to, I mean, you can look at other people's theaters and get ideas. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, what were we taught, John? It's like, a good artist borrows, a great artist steals.
Right.
There you go. So take it for what you want and don't look back.
As a lawyer, I should point out that by that you mean artistically, don't literally steal. It's right. Not a good idea, guys.
If you take it and make it better and now the world notices it, did you really steal it or did you just improve it to the point that, you know what?
Good luck with that in your closing arguments, Deej. I right. suspect that the jury will still say guilty, but you're welcome to give it a try. Yeah. I can't say I've tried that in any of my closing speeches, but it made the world better, your worships. I think that's going to work.
Yeah. Well, most artists aren't really concerned with the courts, as you
Unless
see.
You're Ed Sheeran.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Although he's doing okay out of it.
I guess, yeah.
What did he do now?
He was up for plagiarism again.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
He's won another one.
Well, there you go. Who wants to grab this one?
Yep. Should I do that? Okay. Okay. So this is from Stephen At again. He's becoming a regular contributor. So he says, watching episode 277 from the Deep Impact YouTube post this morning, says, sorry I missed this live. It would have been some chat with two mentions, listener experiences and the raffle. I'm starting to feel like a celebrity. So meanwhile, I've been sitting on a couple of digital redemptions I've been meaning to pass along. I believe these are still active and unused and wanted to make them available. I'm going to send them as a JPEG attachment so I don't risk mistyping the codes. Number one, Shudder. Steve G's favorite flick, The Fifth Element. Sorry, bear with me while I spit on the floor. Sorry. I had this already on streaming and bought the 4K disc version. Oh, Steve. Secondly, number two, Skyscraper. Accidentally bought a copy on sale, but I forgot I'd bought it previously on sale. That's known as the DJ disease.
Mm-hmm.
it's a pastime. I had a bunch of Star Wars running on different TVs yesterday, including the original in 4K of Jedi side by side with the current 4K disc. Very interesting to see the differences, but had to use the audio from the disc. No contest there. I have so much media on hand that I'm afraid I may never get to watch. So I do enjoy the guidance you guys give on your reviews so I can modify my watch list. One last shot at calibrating beyond what Odyssey can do. I've run REW and dialed in my two subwoofers. I assume that says and others. Yeah. Find that Odyssey often sets the subwoofer level way too low in relation to the other speakers. And yet, since my room is not a dedicated home theater, room treatments are only WAF ones. Chairs and rugs, signed Stephen At. So there we go.
Yeah. Yeah. So thanks, Steve, for the digitals, the Fifth Element. Steve, you're not eligible for that. You can't claim it.
Thank God for that. I feel dreadful. Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Burn it with fire. I watched Cannibal Holocaust another 20 times before I watched The Fifth Element once.
Oh, man.
I'll go and find cannibals myself before I have to watch The Fifth Element again.
Oh, God. You know you're only provoking them, right?
What, the cannibals?
Well, No.
It'd be worth it.
Comments.
No, no.
And Skyscraper. So I don't happen to have my digital list open right now, but Skyscraper and Fifth Element, anybody wants those, email me as soon as you can and let me know, and you can get the, and I will send those off to you because Steve did include those with that email. I emailed Steve back. We had a great conversation back and forth. We actually went through our histories of home theater. But talking about the bass and everything in Odyssey. And I was like, I basically said, I don't think it's Odyssey. And I wouldn't say it was Dirac. I wouldn't say that. And that's why I like to caution people on that when they say Odyssey lowers the bass on me in my room. And I always find I have to do this. Odyssey's trying to work with your room. And that's more of a testament to your room, than it would be to, Odyssey. And I said to him in mind, I'm like, if you came in my room and I don't touch anything, and John's been in my room and I don't boost anything in my, I don't boost the overhead, I don't run anything hot. And if you came in my room, you wouldn't say that Odyssey set my bass too low. I mean, there's punch. There's everything. And I'm lucky. It's a dedicated room. Like Steve said, his isn't. But I just like to, when people say stuff like that, I like to caution them on the Odyssey part, because it's really not the Odyssey's, issue. Guys.
No, I agree. I'm in the same situation with Steve. I am not in a dedicated room. I'm not sure what WAF stands for, but my only room treatments are my curtains, my rug, my my sofa.
Well, you put on a fluffy sweater too,
right? I do wear socks and sweats. I have a hardwood floor and a wide open floor plan, so I'm in a very similar situation. I think Odyssey struggles with the bass in a setup like that. So, right. But if I had an enclosed box that I can put a subwoofer in every corner, and I probably wouldn't have to touch it either. So,
Have you seen Steve's comment in that thing? Said I was waiting to see Steve G's reaction to the fifth.
Yeah, I take the fifth.
Yeah, we'll play the fifth. Yeah.
on what?
Oh, see, the that says Law was really waiting to see Steve G's reaction to fifth. Yeah. it's about it. As clean as I can keep it on a family show.
Oh, all right. Ready to get to the next one? Yeah. John, can you grab that?
Terry Noonan commented on Deep Impact YouTube. Hi, guys. Can I take this opportunity to retrospectively thank Steve for his mention of Nikam Stereo? It stood for near instantaneous compounded audio multiplex. Audio multiplex, yeah. To this day, despite my 7.2 surround setup, I still fondly remember when a TV station would suddenly flag the Nikam signal and the room would fill with sound that seemed to be coming from invisible speakers. Happy days. If you have time, Deej, may I ask you a question? You should have read this one. From listening to the pod, I have come to believe that you guys think that 7 floor standards are not necessary. Are bookshelf speakers enough on the side and rear? Am I wasting the goodwill of she who must be obeyed by having 7 big guys, although they are quite cheap?
No, I don't think 7 large around you, 7 floor standards are necessary. It is a goal of mine. I would love to have that someday. I'll probably never have it. But that goes back to the early days. That's how it was set up back in the late 80s, early 90s. And that's what you expected. It's impressive to see, but it really isn't necessary. And I'll give you the best example why. They really are probably, if you have to get the best bass response in your room, to get the best sound in your room, you're going to run the mall at small anyways. Even if you have floor standers at the front, just at the front of your room, you're going to be running those small because you want any bass to be going to your sub or subwoofers, right? So even if you have a single sub in your room, you're going to be positioning that to get the best bass response in your room. And if you start spreading it out willy-nilly to where those speakers need to be placed, okay, then you're going to dilute what you can get from just a subwoofer or a subwoofer system. And that's why you run small. So it has nothing to do with the size of the speaker. It has more to do with what you're making the speaker do. And I think everybody on this podcast, we can all agree and have experienced that when you do go to that, when that day that we first did it, you're like, oh my God, the clarity, because now your speakers, regardless of their size, are being asked to do as much. So they're more able to be effective. And then on top of that, you're cleaning up the sound because you're getting the bass appropriately from where you need to get that correct bass response in your room. There's no speaker more dependent on your room than the subwoofer. And by moving the bass to those larger speakers, you're just making a mess. You're making a mess of that bass sound, and it makes it more difficult to clean that up for your room correction and stuff. So, I wouldn't say you're wasting your goodwill. If she's really cool about it, then go with it. But I would highly recommend they be set to small. And if they're already quite cheap, it'd probably be, wouldn't it be more money to go and spend more money on smaller speakers? I don't know. But if she's willing to do that, you're not going to lose anything by doing that. So does that make sense, guys?
Well, and you're going to cross them over above. You know, anyways, and you're going to take right. the bass away.
Right. Yeah. And that's the idea. You go to small, cross them over at anything over 80 Hertz. My front stage is crossed at 100 and everything else in my room's across at 120. And they're all, everything in the room's capable of 80, but I did them at 100 and I love the response I have in my room. Absolutely love it. So.
And this should be the last comment.
All right. And then that, oh guys, look at that. It's going to leave us with two. Oh, this is a good one. Yeah. And we'll get to it. We got 2 minutes. Kaleidoscape's going to love me for this one. 2 minutes. This is
G. Oh man.
I know. Thank you. G Cornell. He wrote, the name isn't there, but I know we had a great conversation and I wanted to get this out. Don't report me to Kaleidoscape. Rethinking doing K this year, Kaleidoscape, with so much I want to watch that is exclusive and not on 4K, such as Terminalist, Foundation for All Mankind, The Diplomat, The Night Agent, A French Village, Bosch, and The Mandalorian. So off of this, I was like, well, what are you thinking? He was thinking of buying something in the fall, and he still may, but he was actually thinking of speeding it up, but then thought of this, and I was like, after our conversation, he's like, I'm rethinking buying a Kaleidoscape. And I was like, look, and I wrote this and I'll say it to the listeners. I absolutely love my Kaleidoscape. Everybody knows that. But it's for me. It's because of how I watch movies, how I watch television. John knows this as a fact. I don't know. We've said it on the show. I've actually tried to talk John. John wants one and I'm trying to talk him out of it. Because he doesn't watch movies like I do, right? John, you don't jump scene to scene. You come home and you're like, I want to watch this. You put the disc in and you watch that. Right. And that's what you do. If money is a factor, and I said this to G Cornell, and I've said it to John and Steve and anybody that is really seriously considering this, and everybody I know, money is a factor. You need to be a certain type of person for this. You need to be somebody like myself that really loves to jump around, or are okay with the fact that, to be fair, and John is, to be fair, you're going to get the same experience by putting the disc in, right? But if it, if you get, I, the last thing I would ever want to do is my excitement to, for you to get this from hearing me talk about how much I love it and get this thing home. And I've got about 30 seconds to get this thing home and then be like, what the hell? That was thousands and thousands of dollars. And I'm saving myself a trip to my player. That doesn't make sense. So it's, and I was honest with him and he said the same thing. And I was like, and this is why I'm not a salesman. I love the things that I love. I cannot sell, you know, ice cubes to an Eskimo or whatever the phrase is. I need to love it. And I do, but I have my reasons. But I'll also tell you why you might not. So I think that's fair, right? Am I wrong?
Nope. You're right.
No, no, that's fair for sure.
Yeah. I've said, and John and I have had the conversation ever since I got mine.
Yeah.
I'm like, and I don't know.
And, I'm leaning really against it these days,
right,
for that reason.
Well, money is, I mean,
well, money, you, money aside,
right,
I don't think I'll utilize it enough to make it right, worth the money that I would spend right on it.
Now, if money isn't an issue, there's a crap load of features over and above what we could handle, right? Right. It does a ton of stuff that I'm hoping to be able to take advantage of in the future. But it's for guys like me, where it's like, I got to save up everything just to get into the thing. But it is by far, I have never made a purchase this large and been this happy. My next projector will probably cost me more than this, or right around that, right? There's no way the upgrade from that my projector to this projector will mean as much to me as the Kaleidoscape has because of the way I watch movies. So yeah. So sorry to everybody that at Kaleidoscape that's like, oh. Not that they listen, but
cut it out of the audio stream for Friday.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Just but cancel order.
Come and repossess
Steve,
yours.
You watch a ton of movies. I do think you would like one, but you don't jump like I do, but you no, do watch a I ton don't. Of movies.
That's what I don't do.
And yeah, it's the ease of purchase is fun too. And I think you would like that. And it would clean up your,
well, especially where you have to import so many movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. For me, for
it
me,
would make that easy.
Yeah. For me, I think the main advantage for a Kaleidoscape with me about would be how early you get the movies. Cause I've got no right. patience.
So I also said that to, G. Cornell as well. He wanted it for that reason. And I've said this on the podcast before, that gets old fast, right? So you get it early, but you're still getting it. If we weren't exposed to this podcast and you're just sitting home, you're just getting them when you're getting them, right? So what's the difference? And it's like, oh, I got ahead of the rest of the world. Kind of sucks when you get Maverick that early and I can't really talk about it with people. I could tell you, hey, this is great, but oh, okay. It's still nice to get it, but it all levels out because now you're still, you know what I mean? It yeah. eventually I'm levels out.
I'm happy to change the disc. It's there. For me, it's right. how early you get them. That would be the thing for me.
Yeah.
Because I don't really nice. Jump around. I don't do that.
Right.
So that would be the selling point for me. But you and I have talked about why it wouldn't mm-hmm. work anyway because of the way my cinema room sets up. It just would not work. At least as far as I know. But you know, who knows what the future may bring.
Who knows? Save those Alrighty. Pennies. All right. Yep. There we go. We went a little bit over 3 minutes, boys.
I tried, Steve. Not bad.
Not bad. Not bad. I know. We got to get one of those hooks.
Yeah.
But for one of us. But it's a work in progress, and we did get a lot done today. We gave away a bunch of stuff. Thank you to SVS for that, for the Prime Wireless speakers. And, oh, man, guys, we did it. We're done. And we will get again next week, 5 o'clock, next Tuesday. I don't know. It's up in the air. Lots going on, but there will be a takeover Tuesday next week. And we will be back on the bus bench on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern time to 7 p.m. Eastern time. Lock it in because we are. What are we going to do?
Go push play.
What he said.
And we're out.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.